Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Scaling the Gap. I am here with an incredible guest today that I cannot wait to share with you. He has such a cool, dynamic look at the work that he does. He's seen it from so many different angles and from many different focus points. And I think we just are going to have a fantastic conversation today. I can't wait to get to introduce you to him. So, Rob White, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you very much. I look forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of great things to jam about. And just for those of you listening at home, if you ever thought about getting on a podcast, one of the coolest parts about getting to have all these amazing guests on the show is I get a chance to meet them in advance. And we have all these really cool and inspiring conversations kind of in our green room time. And then we get to bring it here live to you in real time on the show. So I always have a little bit of a preview of all the cool themes that my guests get to bring to the table. So I know that Rob has some wisdom to share today. So Rob, you are the brand president over at Monster Tree Services, which is part of Authority Brands, which is a really robust organization. So why don't you share a little bit with our listeners who might not be familiar about who you are and the work you do out in this world?
Okay. Well, I mean, like you said, I'm the brand president of Authority Brands. I've served in this role since November of 2023, so right at 18 months. And Authority Brands is a new company. I mean, it's a big, what I used to call platform franchising company. I'm not sure if that term is still used, but it's in home services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got brands like Mosquito Squad, the Cleaning Authority, Home Watch Caregivers, and then some of the trade brands, Mr. Sparky and 1 Hour Heating. And so each brand has a president.
Yeah.
And then there's shared services in that type of platform franchise. And so I'm responsible for Monster Tree Service. Monster Tree Service is a, you know, it was the only brand in tree care, which is,
oh, cool.
You know, it's strange. As big as home service franchising is,
yeah,
Monster's the only tree care only business, mm-hmm, in franchising. And what I mean by that is there's a small one that's just started a couple of years ago called a competitor of ours, but they do more than just tree care. They branch, mm-hmm, out, do a little bit of, you know, mosquito control and things like that. But Monster Tree has about 65 franchise owners.
Nice.
And you know, the brand's doing well. You know, we had a bit of a transition period, but the brand is strong. We've got some really successful franchise owners.
I love it. So why don't you share a little bit also with our listeners about how you got on this path of being a brand president? I know you've seen franchising and small business ownership from so many different angles, and you've really lived the seats of from such a wide range. So why don't you share a little bit of that story with our people?
Well, it may be a long story, but because it's hard to share a little bit of it. So you cut me off if I get too lengthy. But
okay.
I was a corporate person, and so you know, when I began to hit 40, I said, you know, what job have I been passionate about? I mean, I had a job. I worked with AMF Bowling Centers. And I was responsible for 40 bowling centers in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Favorite was based in Richmond, Virginia, and they never traveled to the Midwest. I basically ran my own business. Well, I felt like I did.
Yep.
And so I said, you know, I need to get into business for myself. And so I looked at different industries and looked at ways to doing it. And I landed on Rainbow Restoration.
Yeah.
At the time, 2004, the restoration industry was changing. It was, you know, profitable. It was a little different than it was now. And so I purchased the license to start a Rainbow Restoration franchise in Richmond, Virginia, went through the 2 weeks of training. My friend there, Jack White, will still say he was in charge of the technical training. He'll still say I was the only one that went through training that didn't know what a caulk gun is.
So your claim to fame was being not handy.
Not handy. Not at all. Not, I mean, my wife moaned most of the tools, not handy at all. But that experience went very well. I did what in the franchising, you follow the system. I did what they told me to do. We were quickly in the top five, top three. And in 2010, I got a visit from the CEO of Dwyer Group and the brand president of Rainbow. And they said, the brand president's retiring. If you'll move, you'll sell your business and move to Waco, Texas, we'll groom you to take over the brand president job. And that was like 240 franchisees. It was had franchisees in Canada, in Europe. And I was like, wow, this is a dream come true. I'm a man of faith. God is number first, most important in my life. And I believe that God puts opportunities in front of you. He puts blessings in front of you. So I jumped on that. My wife and I were the only ones that would move to Waco, Texas. My daughter said, no way. She stayed at Virginia Tech. We moved to Waco. And we had a great time for 4 years working for the Dwyer Group. But we needed to get back to Virginia because we had a couple grandchildren born in Virginia. And so family is second most important. And so we needed to get back for family for several reasons. I resigned. And they said, you know, we've never had a brand president resign. We don't understand why, but they were very kind and sent me off. And then in Richmond, I joined another franchisor called Mosquito Squad. It was owned by Authority Brands. And I led that brand for a couple of years. And I told you this story was going to be long, but this, always like telling this part. I love small business, and so I'm interested in all types of small business. And that's why I like the franchising piece, but I had that itch to get back into, you know, small business ownership.
Yep.
And this friend of mine, this gentleman that I knew, he's in his mid-70s or early 70s, and he had five fast signs.
Yep.
And so, and you know, I didn't know anything about fast signs, but I was in Mexico City selling my master licenses for Mosquito Squad. And I had dinner with a guy from Fast Signs. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, wow, you've got a big franchise owner in Richmond. I think it must be one of your best. And he said, well, why don't you go visit him and ask him if he wants to sell? And so I said, wow. So I did that. I went, had lunch with him, asked him if he wanted to sell. He said, yeah. So we put a deal together. So I went from restoration to Mosquitoes to owning five fast signs in Richmond in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So all of those but one in April of 2023. And it was just a fantastic experience. It was a great experience. The business grew. It did well. It was a good return on my investment. And I still own, I'm silent partners in one of them.
That's awesome. And you also are on a board, right?
Yes, I'm on the board of advisors for Dreammaker Bath and Kitchen, and that a good friend of mine, considered my brother, Doug Dwyer, and he was, you know, part of the Dwyer family in Waco. And I met him when I was in Waco, and he and I became friends. And he asked me to join his board. I think it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. I've been on there a while, and it's really a good experience for me. I don't know if Dreammaker gets any value out of my participation, but I get a lot of value out of being on the board.
Yeah. So you've seen franchising from owner standpoint, from the brand standpoint, from multi-territory ownership, from board, from all sorts of different angles. And this passion for small business is really like central to what you do. And you also have a hand in supporting small businesses who really want to grow as well, right?
You mean through Trexmo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that has really kicked off. I did a little bit with that before I joined Authority Brands, but really nothing now. But that's based on a value system. Values, culture is really important to me. And so the values, and I wrote out the tagline for on a mission trip that God is CEO, went with Doug Dwyer to Africa for 4 years in a row on a mission trip. And their tag was, it's God is CEO, truth, love, truth, and excellence. Mm. And so, and I had the first trip, I had just bought the Fast Signs, and I was, you know, on that long flight thinking, you know, praying, God, I don't need to come up with some values. And that came, truth.
Yeah.
It's where the TR is,
excellence.
It's where the X is. And then love, we describe love as love of life, passion for what we do, and respect for others. And that was the basis of our value system with the four or five brands in Richmond. I say five, four because after I bought the business, we consolidated two of them, sure. Should end up okay. Four brands. I mean, yep. Four locations.
Yep. That's so powerful, though, that love of what you do, passion for what you do, love of others. Like, that's part of the piece that I think some people miss is that level of passion for what you do. You know, I think that so many times when people want to buy a business, they have this vision of them sitting, you know, remote ownership, you know, they're out on the beach with the piña colada and they've got a team working. But there's this level of passion for what you do, the love of the business. The business exists outside of just the people outside. It's a thing in and of itself. And if you don't love it, you know, just like if you have a plant and you say mean things to it, it actually makes the plant wither, right? It's a living thing. You have to pour that love in. And I love it. That's really at the foundations of for you as a leader, for you as a person's passionate about small business owner, and now as the brand president over at Monster Tree Services, like that permeates everything that you do. The passion and the love, that forward, that service, that being of service is a really, really powerful component part. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. You know, for me personally, I don't have any skills. I mean, I really don't. I could not make anything. My wife tells me, stay, you're not a griller. Don't try to grill. Don't pick up a hammer. I mean, I don't have any skills. And so my passion is small business. I just love the business of small business. And I love looking at P&Ls. You know, I love understanding how people, you know, how they network, how they generate leads, you know, how they turn the leads into sales, how they, you know, how they create culture and manage their people, just everything about small business. That's my passion.
That's right. I've never before had a guest come on my show and say, I have no skills. I have no skills, 100% zero. That's awesome. I am standing right beside you, Rob, because this painting behind me, for those of you watching on YouTube and those of you listening, there's a painting behind me in my office. There must be five holes just to find the one spot that it should be hanging, right? And I measured it multiple times. It's not like I just winged it. I measured it carefully, marked it precisely, and was still wrong, right? Like, I'm right there with you. I shouldn't be picking up a hammer. I should contract someone to do that. Like, I have no skills either. And even in, you know, in the kitchen, I can follow a recipe, but if I try and wing it and just do what I think it's going to feel right, it is not going to feel right in your mouth. That is going to taste gross and you're going to order pizza, right? So I am right with you. I have the same passion, that small bit. Like, I love to understand what makes you tick. Why did you choose to go into business? What do you want out of your business? Why do you want to grow it? What is your purpose here? Because that why do we do it, right? Small business ownership's hard. It's not for the faint of heart. You're going to get the opportunity to grow. You talked about, you know, God placing opportunity in front of you. Yes, there's always opportunities here when two things are true, when you are prepared to say yes to it, right? The Lord does not waste, right? He's not going to give you an opportunity if you're not prepared for it. Even if you don't feel you're prepared, usually more prepared. So there's preparation. And then that opportunity comes because you've taken some action. Right. You're not sitting on your couch eating bonbons and then suddenly an opportunity comes out of the ether. Like, in, you know, that's not how it works. You know, those opportunities came because you're out in the world doing your work at an excellent level. And then you have to say yes to it. You have to correspond to the opportunity. And what that usually looks like, I think it's Henry Ford. Is it Henry Ford that said people miss opportunity because it shows up in overalls and looks like hard work? That's the nature of opportunity, right? And that passion for small business, like, I would say that's a huge and important skill. It just doesn't show up in the world of home service in the execution of the work.
Exactly. You know, I think, you know, if I have a skill or a gift, I think it's seeing the talent in others.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think because, you know, since I don't really have any talent, I just appreciate the talent of others. Like, I really, you know, am amazed at that painting behind you. Yeah. In the sign business, I could never make a sign. They wouldn't allow me, my team members, to make a sign. But I was amazed at what they could do and wrapping those vehicles and installing it. I just really appreciate the gifts that, that people have. And I could see those and other gifts as well. I mean, you know, the gifts of work, like with numbers or, you know, just interacting with folks and being able to sell. I mean, they're all gifts, all gifts from God.
That's for sure. That capacity to see a gift in someone else. So often people take their gifts for granted, right? There was a really awesome coach that I worked with very early on in my entrepreneurial journey. And one of the things that she encouraged us to do is to pause and notice when someone gives you a genuine compliment, especially when a compliment feels like you're that's the thing you're going to stop me in my tracks and say I'm good at. Okay. Right. Because it feels sometimes when we get a compliment, like it's not a big deal. Like the thing that they're applauding us for, complimenting us on, feels like, of course I do it that way. Like who else, who wouldn't? But when someone stops to notice it, it's because it's exceptional, because it's, you're not like all the other people. Right. And that level of capacity. And so often people need a mirror to see it. They need to be told. So that ability to spot talent in other people, it probably allows you to help people blossom in their gifts too.
Yeah. Yeah. That motivates me. I enjoy bringing out the best in others. I mean, that's just you bringing out the best, seeing others, you know, be their best and use their gifts and use their talents. And I get a lot of joy out of watching that.
Yeah. I had a friend once who told me that he loves to go to live performances of all nature. Doesn't matter, like sports or music, even if it's little kids doing their thing. He said, because it's individuals getting out there and doing what they believe is their best work. And he said, there's just something so inspiring, even if maybe they're not that good. Like maybe that's the best they have to offer today. And that's going to help them to continue to refine and improve. But just watching someone go out there and give their best as a brand president, you get to watch that in your area of passion, which is small business, every day, right? There's no one's showing up to their business being like, well, let me count the ways I'm going to suck today, right? Like they're going out there giving it their all, right? And then you get the opportunity to help them refine that pathway forward so that their best ends up becoming really a refining machine to make that business flourish.
Right, right. One of the values that at the Dwyer Group was look to the system for correction. And the way that I always interpreted that is that nobody wants to do a bad job at anything. I don't believe that anyone wakes up and says, what can I goof up today? I think everyone gets out of bed and they want to do a good job. And so, you know, and so the assumption there is that looking to the system for correction, that if someone didn't do a good job, maybe it's a process issue, maybe it's a training issue, or maybe it is an understanding or practice issue, but it's not that someone doesn't want to do it right.
That's right. They're usually doing what they think is right. Right. Even if you told them multiple times how to do it, they still think that their way is better. Right. There's something that they haven't bought in yet. So you have to do a campaign for hearts and minds. Right. People have to buy in to the fact that you're teaching them something different than what they're doing today. That's going to take a little effort. And then I always look at that with what I call the three T's, the time, the tools, and the training. Have you given them the time? Have you spoken to them about it? Have you coached them? Have you helped them see the wisdom of the approach, right? Have you given them the tools, right? Do they actually know the system? Do they know the process? Do they know how to do the steps within the process? And then the training. Have you given the practical time to get good at it, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the big mistakes small business owners make, is that they teach someone how to do something and then they expect them to do it flawlessly right away. Right. That's not real, right? Babies don't learn to walk without ever stumbling, right? We're all just grown up children, right? We're going to, as we practice something new, it's called practicing for a reason, right? Because there's a component of refinement every time you do it. You're not going to knock it out of the park 100% of the time from day one. And if you do, oh, now you got talent on your hands.
It's true.
Right back to that talented individual.
Exactly. You know, it's a great point. You're right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I've really loved chatting through some of these highs and these leadership and culture philosophies that you have. And I'm curious if there were any of those along this very varied, variegated journey of yours, if there were any unexpected low points, things that you didn't see coming that made that little gut punch moment or that taught you, you know, beautiful gift in an ugly wrapping paper. I'm curious what those were for you, if there's one that stands out.
You know, I believe that the challenges, even, you know, bad things that, you know, they're put in our path to teach us, to grow, to build character. But one thing that I had been a slow learner on, and that is that, you know, people, when you're a leader, you're going to get your chest stomped on. I mean, people, you know, you pour into people. And I think part of leadership is you care about, you know, a lot of times you tell them how much you care about them.
Right.
And some of them will respond well to that. And some of them won't believe you or won't care. And then some of them will just, whether it's unintentionally, it could be unintentionally or right, intentionally, just they stomp you. I mean, they do something, either they steal from you or they will, you know, or go to work for a competitor and take company right, secrets, or, you know, you feel, as a leader, you feel betrayed. And that happens, I think, whether you're leading a small business, whether you're leading a big, you know, a bigger company, I think that's just part of leadership.
Yeah, that heartbreak of watching people who you poured into not reciprocate, or even worse, stab you.
Yeah.
Or
do something silly or dumb, or, you know, or selfish, that causes you to terminate them. I mean, that probably hurts the most.
Yeah. Yeah. Avoidable pain, right? The avoidable pain of leadership. I've never again had a guest, two brand news on today's shows, a guest with no skills whatsoever, and also who acknowledges the heartbreak of that leadership, right? There is something we, as leaders, we give of ourselves, right? There has to be a really magnetic, powerful, excellent leader, there has to be a gift of self, right? Of your knowledge, of your capacity, of your compassion, of all of your talent and skills too, into your downline. And when you've nurtured someone and you've taken them under your wing and you've given them opportunities, and especially as a small business owner, when you've paid them, which is your money, right, that you're giving to other people to employ them and to feed their families,
right,
and then they take that gift and they do something ugly with it, or they're really flippant and they don't treat you with dignity in the exit, that's really painful. I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah, that is.
Well, you know, you said you haven't had many guests acknowledge that. And it reminds me of a book that I just finished reading. I'm going to read it again. And it's called Ego is the Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling someone, one of my team members, about that today, because we were talking about a franchise owner that hasn't been in very long. And now they want to sell. They want to get out. They said they can't take it. And we were talking about that. And she said, and, you know, her husband's a business owner. She said, you know, it's hard. And I said, it is. And this book, Ego is the Enemy, it talks about, you know, you see all these success stories. You see people talk about, oh, I built this enterprise and, yeah, I've got this amount of money. But they don't tell you the nervous breakdown they had on the way. They don't tell you all the anxiety attacks. They don't tell you about maybe the divorce or the separation. And they don't tell you about all of the heartache, because you have to pour yourself into the business. And, you know, the same person we were talking, and they said something like, you know, I love franchising, but there's a lot of good ones and there's a lot of bad ones. And the ones that tell you, I shouldn't say this across the board, but service businesses are typically not absentee.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones I've ever seen.
Yep.
Are not absentee. Yep. And when somebody comes into a business and thinks they can just pay the franchise fee, open up, hire employees and walk away, you can't. You can't do that. You have to be involved. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, from the franchisor side, it breaks my heart when things don't work out.
Right, right.
For a franchise owner.
Yeah. I love that this touching upon people. So I say that people tell their story from the middle. They tell their story from that moment of lift, right? They've been working for 15, 20, 30 years, however long it's been taken. They broke their nose. They scraped their knees. They lost their money and had to remake it again. They hired the wrong people. They this, they that. They burned through cash. They all the things. And then after all those decades of learning, something happens and there's a moment of lift where they right. start to reap the reward of the lessons that they've been learning, right? So many people tell their story from the moment of lift, from the moment when things started to go right. But there's all the decades of things that were going wrong. And when I first jumped into entrepreneurial life, it's about a decade ago now, I really resented that because I had people that I invested with and believed in who told their story from the middle and they acted like it was the beginning. And then I was at the beginning of my story, so I was judging my beginning by their middle. And I made mistakes in the beginning because I was given advice as though I was in the middle. And you make different decisions when you're in the beginning than when you're in the middle. And that's one of my big passions. It's why I always ask on the show about, tell us about a low point. What is the hard part? What, you know, it's not all just glorious, right? Yeah. And it doesn't mean to dissuade, right? Like business ownership is also what a joy, what a delight, what a positive impact we can have in the world around us. And it's hard, right? Both are simultaneously true. And I love that, you know, you can't, don't forget that there's a lot of, there is sacrifice along the way and there are decisions that have to be made and you need to understand your values so you're always acting in alignment with who you are and the work you were meant to do in this world as you make those sacrifices, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've watched people make what I would call, they would call it, I made the hard sacrifice. And I actually sometimes say you made the easy sacrifice because I was talking to a business owner a couple of years back and she said, well, I've missed almost every baseball game for my son this season. And she goes, that's just a sacrifice I've had to make. And I said, no, I really think you made the easy sacrifice because it was easier for you to stay at work and to put in, to you do the work instead of for you to hire someone who could have done the job. So then you could have the freedom to go be at your son's baseball game, right?
It was the
easy sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice at the sacrifice of your family. Like he's never going to have that baseball season again. Kids are only little for a very short period of time, right? There's adults for a long time and they're only kids for a short time. So just that they're really mindful of your sacrifices. Yeah.
They're precious. They're precious years. But you know, but as you said that, I'm thinking, you know, that, I don't get stuck on this book, but that's a bit of ego. If you think nobody can do this as well as I can, or you don't want to, you know, let someone else do it, knowing you may have to straighten it out, or, you know, knowing that it may not go right the first few times. I mean, that's a little bit of ego, but that's the law of the lid. I mean, as John Maxwell talks about the law of the lid is that, you know, we can, and I tell franchise owners this, there's a lid. It doesn't matter how many hours you work. You can only do so much. You got to hire other leaders, other people, first other people, and then other leaders who can, you know, lead those people. Now, that's the only way you're going to grow your business.
Yes. It's one of the number one techniques that we deploy. One of our secret sauces over here at ProQ is that we push owners to hire leaders before they feel ready, right? Because leaders are maximizers. Leaders can exponentially increase productivity, not just the workers, right? Yes, you have to have a team, but when you hire leaders, your capacity gets expanded and the capacity of your team does too. And it can be magical.
Right. You know, to that point, every time, if I look back on my career, every time I hired someone and brought them in at and paid them more than I thought I wanted to.
Right.
You know, you're saying, you know, it for most of the time it's bringing in another leader, but every time I paid them more, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to do this, but let's try it. It always worked out for the better. It always grew the business every time.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Well, this has been so fun. I love all these philosophies of expansiveness by knowing your lane, right? Like understanding, I got to bring in more leaders. I have to understand my values. I have to understand where I don't have skill and not try to fake it over there. I have holes behind the painting. And really to see and expand the talent in other people and give them a pathway for them to become their most maximized version of themselves is a really, really beautiful gift. So I'm curious that before we go on to our very, very last question, you know, what is your ultimate favorite of all favorites of your business philosophies? You have so many of these. I can feel them in the ether. You live them every day. You talk about them. What's your favorite of them all? And then I'm going to go to my very last question for us before we wrap up today.
I mean, the one that comes to mind is, again, John Maxwell. And he says, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think it just goes back to it's whether you're selling, it's whether you're leading, it's whether you are, you know, working as a team member. It's you, people don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. It's about relationships. It's about trust. I think that's a broad one and probably my overall favorite.
Yeah. I mean, that gets to that heart-centeredness, right? The love part that we talked about, that there has to be something underlying that or else it just becomes a transactional relationship. And you can transact with anyone, but you can't necessarily have that sort of connected, empowering relationships with anyone. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, Rob. Well, with all the ups and downs, I have my one last question. It's my mandatory one. All my long-term listeners know what I'm going to ask. There's been so many different angles that you've taken your career from and the trajectory that you've had and empowered so many other people along the way. So with all of that history behind you, do you consider yourself to be successful?
I consider myself to be blessed. And I'm going to answer, this will be another long answer. I'm blessed. I mean, I've been blessed with a knack for small business, a gift for small business. I've been blessed that everyone I've done not has worked out in the end. I mean, it's been plenty of challenges, but in the end, it's worked out. It's been a blessing. It's been a good return. I've been blessed with a wonderful family. I've been blessed with long-term friends. We've got 10 of us that still get together. Harry, we've known each other for 45 years. We still get together once a month.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God has blessed me, but I'm not finished. And so, you know, I have had successes with growing selling businesses. I've had successes leading franchising companies, but I'm not finished. And my core purpose is to allow God to work through me to fulfill his purposes for my life. And so far, it's been in business. I mean, I don't know what that's going to make. It could change tomorrow. So do I feel that I have been a success? Yeah, I mean, I feel blessed. But again, you know, I don't think that, first off, it's not for me to say. When I get to heaven, I hope God will say that I haven't left too many blessings, you know, on the table. That's enough. I feel good, God, you know, God puts things in front of you. I think that there are blessings in it. In life, like you said, you got to take action. And I think, you know, that we'll miss a lot of those. Yeah. In that, you know, one day we'll find out, wow, you know, this blessing, that blessing, I missed all these. So I don't want to miss any of them.
Yeah. Ooh, I love it. So one of the things that I love to do when people answer this question, because everyone answers it so differently, right? Everyone has a different perspective, a different angle. Some people, you know, they've said no, right? Some people have said yes, but some people are like, you're kind of a yes and, right? New angle, right? And I like to backwards engineer what I call a success algorithm for each individual person. And I've been able to do this one for you. So I want to read back to you what I wrote down and see if we nailed it, or if, you know, we can maybe need to rinse and refine it just a little bit, fine tune some of the pieces, but let's see if I got the Rob White success algorithm close. Let's see what we got. So success for you equals honoring your gifts, having the capacity to overcome obstacles, building robust relationships, keeping mindfulness of the road ahead, being an instrument of God in the world, and living in the blessings of the day.
Amen. Wow. I love it. I don't know if I said that, but that's awesome.
That's what you said. I just used different words. I just synthesized it. Isn't that cool to hear it back? Right?
That's a gift that you have to be able to take that and put that into a, you said it's an algorithm.
I call it an algorithm. This plus this plus this plus this plus this.
Again.
Right? Like wow. It's a lot of various components, and they're components that have a lot of depth, right? For you, robust relationships means those 45 years of friendships that you've been building, and also family, right? You talked multiple times about your family, right? You resigned from a brand president role because you wanted to be a present grandparent, right? Like that's putting your money where your mouth is. That's for sure, right? That's putting your family first. That's putting family forward. That's robust relationship, right? So these component parts, you know, that I appreciate that you acknowledge the gift in me, because that's one of the things that I'm able to take a narrative and find the threads. And they've been woven not just in what you said about success and the blessing that you live in, but also in our previous conversation, right? Like they're streams, they're little threads that have been weaving themselves as we've been talking. And then in the end, we have this really beautiful acknowledgement of how you live. And I think that that's really beautiful. And that each person on the show, each of my guests brings something so unique and so dynamic to it that it's my favorite question to ask every time.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, that's a gift to me. You've been able to summarize it. It really is.
Thank you. Well, I will jot down some notes. They'll also be in the show notes, and I'll send that on over to you so you have it on your email.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, Rob, if people want to get to know a little bit more about Monster Tree Services, or if they want to connect with you further, where should they to get to know you more?
My email at Monster is rob@ymonster.com.
Awesome.
And then my personal email is rob@trexlo.com.
Awesome. Well, we will link both of those email addresses in the show notes. So if you want to connect with Rob further, feel free to reach out to him. He's fantastic, as you all know now. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Rob. Thank you for sharing your leadership philosophies and these really rich concepts and the lived concepts about seeing the good in others, seeing the talents in others, being a maximizer, identifying these blessings, these opportunities that show up like hard work, and taking action in their direction. And for those of you listening at home, don't ever underestimate the power of the small actions, the power of saying yes to the opportunity, the power of acknowledging where your gifts could be maximized in other people by expanding your teams, by saying yes to more, and ensuring that you can also be a blessing in the world around you. All right, everybody.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Chat with you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.